Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Welcome somebody by your side in the presence of the Lord. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bring you greetings from Sokoto in Nigeria State. We had the most explosive time in God's presence there. And you shall be seeing the clips shortly. Hallelujah. For the earth being filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the seas. This Sunday, even though it's the blessing Sunday, I intend to round off temporarily, because like some people say, it's a subject that must be permanently on in order for our nation and our lives to be sanitized. To round off on the toxicity of hate, our focus today will be to look at the characteristics of love. So for the purpose of that, I'm actually giving it a new title today, but it's a continuation, just that so that you know. So I'm continuing and speaking on the subject of living and loving in a loveless world. Living and loving in a loveless world. Living and loving in a loveless world. The Bible said in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Before I go, let me tell you a very, very funny story. A story that will just make you understand what that woman was trying to do. So in the year of 1999, I traveled from drove by road from Zaria to Kaduna to minister at the National Conference of the Nigerian Christian Corpus Fellowship. And road drive, arrived in the night, went straight to the meeting and preached like somebody from another world. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The pastor who coordinated the meeting in Sokoto was sharing his testimony. That was his first encounter with me as a youth copper. And he said that I preached for about 40 minutes. That was the climax of the conference. Guest ministers had preached throughout the week. But he said, I came and it was about 40 minutes and the whole place was ablaze. There were people on the floor that couldn't be carried. They were under power. He said they drove from just then to Akwa Ibom State in their bus that the coppers came with and spoke in tongues in the bus till they reached Uyo. They were on fire. He said many people stepped into ministry who had the call of God from the fire of that encounter. He will never forget. He said, but before I came, there was a lady who was permanently prophesying in the conference. If any guest minister stood up, she would stand and start prophesying. He said in one of the meetings, she prophesied almost like 3 hours. He said the speaker who spoke before me, she disrupted that one's ministration. She would start talking and the man kept quiet. For 3 hours. So it was my turn and I came and I started preaching. Then she stood up as usual to continue her market, not knowing that she was seeing another person. So I looked through and said, keep quiet. God cannot be talking through you and talking through me at the same time. He said, all of a sudden, everything went silent. The coppers looked at him and said, hey, so it is possible to silence this woman, this girl. She tormented them throughout the conference, almost made the conference useless. That was how they bundled her out of that meeting. with a vengeance with which she had spoiled their conference, bundled her out, and after that administration, the rain fell and something broke. And they couldn't recover. He said this is 1999. She can't forget the message and can't forget the impact till today. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was like Paul the Apostle, when that woman with the spirit of divination kept on interrupting his message. He had to roar like a lion. You see, pastors are like us to be very careful, and all of us who minister. Those kind of people who operate like that, they are just agents to distract services. She kept quiet when it is time to preach. She didn't talk during prayer. She didn't talk during testimony. Didn't talk until it is time to speak. Then started.
People talk the same thing at the same time.
Give the Lord a shout of praise.
Hallelujah.
Nothing shall disrupt your life and disrupt your assignment and disrupt your destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. Shout the loudest, amen. That is why it's good to know the word of God and to know the spirit of God. Yes, nothing, yes, nobody, yes. Nothing intimidates you. There are prophets who prophesy with eyes open. When you see somebody shaking to prophesy, it's a kindergarten.
Ola, ola, ola. Ola, ola, ola.
Give the Lord a praise and take your seat. In all our locations, never let any such agent disrupt any service. If they start to bundle them out.
They should go and look for where to talk.
Amen. Living and loving in a loveless world. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 1 to verse 2. He said this, know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Without natural affection. Truth breakers, false. False accusers, incontinent, fears, despisers of those that are good. Please, I'd like you to give me other translations. The Living Bible, the New Living Translation, the Amplified Classic, if you have it. And then look at how it translates those places. Without natural affection. One translation said they will be loveless. I'll focus up more on verse 2 and verse 3. Be certain of these. They say they will be without natural love. They will be bitter haters. Saying evil of others. Violent and uncontrolled. Hating all good. This translation said they will be unloving, devoid of natural human affection. As if they are not human beings. Calloused. Inhuman or inhumane. Irreconcilable. They won't. You can't reconcile them. Malicious gossips. Devoid of self-control. Intemperate, immoral, brutal. Haters of good. They will be unkind and merciless. Slanderous, violent, fierce. They will hate good. I think we can stop there. Dog eat dog. Unbending, slanderous. Impulsively wild, savage, cynical. That's the kind of world we live in. Our objective tonight is this morning, first of all, is to understand why we must walk in love. Number two, we'll understand the characteristics of the love walk. Why we must live in love. Number two, we'll understand the characteristics of the love life. And number three, our response to bitterness. Understanding why we must walk and live in love. The characteristics of the love life and our response to bitterness. like we have seen throughout the month of October, there is an epidemic of lovelessness in our generation. There is the hate revolution. It's like a revolution of hatred. But what is most concerning, most worrisome, is what I call reactive bitterness. They hate you until you begin to react with bitterness. They hate you, they talk about you, they slander you. They conspire against you until you are denatured. Your nature changed. You were once a loving person before, smiley, friendly with everybody. All of a sudden your face became straight. All of a sudden you lost your sweetness to bitterness. You know, bitterness is the opposite of sweetness. All of a sudden you have changed into another person. They changed you into something else. Which is what we want to guard against. Because like I told you, a major agenda of the devil is to see how many he can take to hell by hatred. How many people can he take to hell? He can't cause you to lie. Can't cause you to cheat. Can't cause you to commit immorality. Can't cause you to lie. Can't cause you to deceive. Can't cause you to kill. He wants to cause you to hate. It looks harmless. But it is the same hatred that takes people to the same hell with murderers and killers. And there are people who will do things against you that you will wonder whether the devil will do the same to you. There are people who appear as if they are more wicked than Satan themselves. But I want to beg you, sister, beg you, brother, please don't lose your nature. Don't lose how God created you. Don't lose the sweetness of your personality. Don't lose the purity and the sincerity of your person. Don't lose that thing. Yes, be on your watch, be on your guard. But don't lose you. The world needs you. Not what bitterness wants to turn you into. But let's go. Why must we walk in love? Very quickly. One. We must walk. Alright. Why must we live in love? One. We must live in love. To live in the nature and character of our Creator, who made us in His image. We must live in love to live in the nature and character of our Creator, who made us in His image. Genesis 1:28. And God said, let us make man in our image. 1:26. Let's make man in our image. And 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. The image of God is the image of love. We must walk in love. Walk in love. Live in love. To walk and live in the image of our Creator, who made us in His image. Number two. We must live and walk in love. To walk in agreement and fellowship with our Creator. To walk in agreement. To walk in fellowship with our Creator. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 said, two can't walk together except they be agreed. To walk in agreement, to walk in fellowship with our Creator, we must walk in love. When you are out of love, you are out of agreement. You are out of alignment. Why must we walk in love? Number three, We must walk, live, and walk in love. To walk in godly character. The Bible said, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love does not hurt his neighbor. Romans chapter 13, verse 10. To walk in godly character. Romans 13 and in verse 10. That is, your character is enhanced by the walk of love. Your character is purified by your walk of love. Why must we walk, live, and walk in love? Number five, we must live and walk in love to avoid the trouble and torment of bitterness. There is the trouble and there is a torment it carries. He said the root of bitterness troubles. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, in case any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and many be defiled. There is a trouble that hate releases inside you. Can I go further? Number five, we must live and walk in love to escape the challenge of unanswered prayers. The challenge of unanswered prayers. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, he said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. For if you forgive not, 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. That is, you are praying, you are bitter, your prayer is useless. You are praying, you are bitter, you are praying, you are angry, you are praying, you are hating. It's a waste of prayer. He said, your sins are with you. So you are praying as a sinner. And God heareth not sinners. To avoid the challenge of unanswered. That is what the devil wants to do to us. Make you hate until you are useless spiritually. Make you bitter until you are useless spiritually. Your life is just tied down. Nothing is working. Too many people locked up in the heart. Number six, we must live. We must walk and live in love to avoid the challenge of impotent faith. Faith lacks potency without love. To avoid the challenge of impotent faith. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6. He says in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which is made potent by love. Faith worketh by love. The more in love you walk, the more potent your faith gets. Lovelessness is an attack on faith. Bitterness is an attack on faith. We must live and walk in love so that our faith can walk. And finally, number seven, I'll give number eight in the second service. We must live and walk in love to avoid the tragedy of eternal damnation. Damnation in hell. We must live and walk in love to avoid the tragedy of eternal damnation. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. 1 John 3, 14 to 15. He said, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. That is, he is a candidate for eternal hell. That will never be your portion. Do you see how it is? How we are duty bound. The enemy has sworn to offend you. He said it must need be that offenses must come. Matthew 18 verse 7. But you must swear. Even if there is anything like that. Or you must be duty bound, oath bound. That as the offenses come, you will never be a victim of reactive bitterness, reactive hatred. Until your nature changes. And you became something different. Somebody different. I have been offended. I have been hurt. I have been betrayed. I have been everything. But everybody who stays around me is still laughing and laughing and laughing till tomorrow. I'll just drop a bomb. They will explode. Hallelujah. The dance is still on. There are sometimes we are dancing on top of the devil. And letting the devil know, I know you are trying to draw my attention, but I'm not interested. Hey! Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. What is the characteristic? What are the characteristics of love? Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I trust God to be as sharp as I can. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'll read from verse 1 all the way to verse 8, thereabout. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth nothing. Now, from verse 4, we begin to see the characteristics of love. And this is the verse 4 that you are going to read from me in some translation. It says, charity suffereth long, is kind, it envieth not. He vaunted not himself. He's not puffed up. He's not boastful. It's not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly or disrespectful. It does not seek her own. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. He beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Love is patient and is kind. It is not jealous or conceited or proud. It's not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. It does not keep a record of wrongs. It's not happy with evil, but it's happy with truth. It never gives up, and its faith and hope and patience never fails. Love is eternal. There are inspired messages, but they are temporary. There are gifts of speaking in strange tongues, but they will cease. There is knowledge, but it will pass. Now, what are the characteristics of love? Number one, love involves putting ourselves in the shoes of others. And relating accordingly, putting oneself in the shoes of others. When you love, the question is, if I was this person, how will I love to be treated? Is putting oneself. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 12, he said, one thing soever you want men to do to you, do to them. That is the law and the prophets. That is love. That is love. If you are a wife, put yourself in the shoes of your husband. In other words, if I was a husband, how would I love to be treated? And if you are a husband, put yourself in the shoes of your wife. How she attends to so many things without appreciation. It involves, you see, people just act in life with only themselves in mind. What you are doing against this person, would you like anybody to do it against you? Put yourself like that. Whether you are in a house setting, an office setting, online setting, what you are trying to do against this person, is that your expectation from others towards you? Number two, love means functioning in generosity and liberality. Love is kind. Love is generous with counsel, generous with affection, generous with giving. You are liberal. You are generous. You are generous in. If somebody needed a counsel, you will give it generously. If somebody needed a helping hand, you will give it generously. Love is not stingy. Love is generous. For God so loved the world that he gave. Now the reference for all the things I am saying is the same 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is generous. It's very, very generous. Number three, love means freedom from envy, jealousy, or bitter competitiveness. Bitter. Love means freedom from envy. It envieth not. Freedom from envy. Freedom from jealousy. Freedom from bitter competitiveness. When you see a person that is so envious and so jealous and so competitively bitter, want to undo somebody, outshine somebody, disshine somebody, it's walking out of love. You are happy with what a person has. You wish them well. If any of the characteristics, anything that I'm mentioning is in you, is something to repent of. Envy, jealousy, bitter competitiveness. When you see, and there are things that manifest from childhood. A little boy came to me one day and he said to me, pray for me so that I can be bigger than you. So I look at him, I say, you will not be. Because the nature to be is not in you. God resisted the proud, giveth grace to the humble. If you are going to be, this tendency in you now must die. Yeah. In the days when we used to welcome people and shake hands with people during the newcomers, if you are here for the first time, come out in the rewind, you remember, I'm shaking hands with everybody. Somebody came and said, held my hand, said, place it on me. What you carry, I need double of it. I looked at him, I said, you can't have it. I said, before Elisha could ask for double, number one, he served, he was loyal, he was obedient, he followed, he stood apart from the other sons of the prophets for 21 years. When I meet you, since when I see you, 20. You see, people have some. There are people who think they are looking for an unction or a mantle, but it is envy, jealousy, bitterness. Don't do that. Let that thing die. Let it become a genuine appreciation, a genuine inspiration, not a competitiveness. Am I communicating? Let it be. I see today, some people are busy, struggling. Somebody put his child in school abroad. You don't have any money, but you are struggling. If the child is abroad, what would they say if my own children are abroad? In these days, I see a lot of people struggling. I want to pay $14,000, £14,000, student school fees. Even private universities. Everybody should live according to their size with time. Listen to me. When we came to Abuja here, our daughter, first child, was to be put in school, nursery school. So my wife brought the list of at about 3 or 4 schools, from the highest to the lowest. This one is standard school. This is the price for this school. This is the price for this one. This is the price for this one. Which one should we put the child? I said, the determination of the school is not the school, it's the money. So the school, this one, this lowest one here with this price, that is where the child will go. This low one here, that is what we can pay for now. If it is my money, I will use to pay child school fees, not church money. It's not church child. It's pastor's child. Even if the church has enough money for anything, it is not school fees money. It is money for church work. Am I communicating at all? So, we put the girl in that school, the lowest one there. Any English we teach her from home, they will change it in the school. That was how bad the school was. The school almost damaged her English. Come back with dirty uniform, very local school. Now, but as God was changing our personal levels, the level of the school was also changing. And changing. And changing. Today, now, if she speaks some English, you might need dictionary to know the meaning. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Don't struggle. You are not in competition with anybody. You are not struggling to beat anybody. Just defeat, beat yourself, beat your last result. Don't stress your life. So everybody must school abroad. Everybody must. You see, but the pain is the educational situation in our country. I went to the medical school, the University of Georgia. They called me to their induction program about 3 weeks ago, as a medical elder, to induct and talk to the children as they go out for school. And they are those children. Some of them have been in university for 10 years, 9 years. COVID caught them in school. 9, 10 years, strikes. 2 or 2 strikes. 1 almost 1 year. I looked at these children and my heart went out for them. A course of 6 years, done with 10 years. That is the educational situation, the reality at home that is pushing people to look for things abroad and so on. And we trust God to repair the system. To repair the system. The money that individuals in this nation have can sort out university lecturers for the next 20 years. Individuals. And they will still have enough. But That being as it may, don't struggle and just don't put yourself under any tension. We went to local school. The first time I went to school, you have to do your hand like this. So that it can be sure that you are the age. Local primary school. In the same town of Otupodia, secondary school. The way if there was university there, maybe I would have attended there. The first time I went to a seat, let me not talk to you. Hallelujah. Don't stress yourself, and children, don't stress your parents. My classmate is now in Cambridge. Another one now is in Harvard. Forget that somebody went to Cambridge or Harvard does not mean they will be at the top in life. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Just follow gradually. Just follow life gradually. Love is devoid of envy. Now I have to race against time because I should finish this message today. Means freedom from envy. Freedom from jealousy or bitter competitiveness. Number four, love again is freedom from boastfulness, pride, vainglory. Love is not boastful. Love is not proud, arrogant. Love does not exaggerate its importance. It does not over-exaggerate its importance. The crusade we went to in Sokoto. Some people are asking, what is the count? What is the number? I don't know, and I don't want to tell. Because I don't want to lie. I say, how many 100,000 people or a million, whatever. How did I count them one by one? It's not boastful. It's not vainglorious. It does not exaggerate. When you see people behave like that, and I will emphasize that in the second service, which is more of an attempt to make the others feel like I am bigger than you, it is walking devoid of love. Making people feel like you are small and I am big. You are tiny and I am mega. Number five. Love treats people with courtesy, respect, and value. Everywhere you see courtesy lacking, respect lacking, value lacking, that is the bankruptcy of love in the heart of a man. Wife that is discourteous, disrespectful, husband also, that has no value for his wife. You are laughing with everybody outside, but you frown to come home. Why are you more friendly with outsiders than with your wife? Why are you more free with others than with the people in your household? We are still in 1 Corinthians 13. Love treats people with courtesy, respect, and value. What number are we, please? Number six. Love is not self-centered or self-seeking. It seeketh not its own. It's not self-centered, not self-seeking. One of the flights we traveled recently. I told the flight stewardess, and my wife told her, most of the times, you come to ask me when it is time to serve. I say, no, I will be more comfortable if the other people are served first. There was a time in our house, we had almost 30 people living with us in area one. And when they said to me, food is ready, and I said, have the people eaten? If the answer is no, I will tell them, I said, so how do you expect me to be comfortable eating? Am I an oppressor? Serve the people first. And they have to know that they have to do that. Now that may look tiny to somebody. But when, you see, we live in a generation where people say it's me first, self first. My wife used to tell me, she said, you easily sign check. If it is church, you sign. Somebody's child needs school fees, sign. Somebody is stranded, sign. Somebody needs a sign. We need to change your phone. Why? You see, this phone now, you are pressing it with power to make. How many of you have seen that kind of pressing at the button? Say, I don't. Please, leave me alone. I'm okay. Until she buys it, sign. We are traveling. Is there anything I need to buy for you? No, I'm not aware. He said, you sign easily for everybody and everything except for yourself. Truth confirmed. Ask her. As you see now, check me, you can't find Sissy. I traveled all the way to Venezuela, Pastor. I forgot that I didn't carry money. South America, not one naira was in my pocket. And if I travel with my wife, I'm sure that I will have something. But I traveled alone. There are other things I can't tell you. What they call card now, this card that they, whether it's MasterCard, whatever, to operate it now is a challenge. That is, put the card, pim, 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 draw the money. I don't know the code. What is the code of my, of any, I don't know the code. I don't know the code. That is this serious? That is pin. Pin. Do you understand? But many of us, we need to know all of those things. But I'm trying small, small. But too busy with so many things that are, and the busyness is for other people's matters. The fasting, the prayer, the intercession is other people's matters. I pray today that God will fill us with a dimension of His nature that will make us to positively impact our world. You believe that? Say aloud, amen. That is love. It's not self-seeking. It's not self-centered. Number 7. Love is not resentful or easily angered. It's not resentful. It's not touchy. When you see a person who does not walk in love, it is, they are very, very quick to pick offense. They are just irritable. It's like anger looking for where to explode. Have you seen such people before? Plenty. There are people, when they are coming, you have to give chance. Because you don't know whether greeting is an offense or refusal to greet. You greet is a challenge. You don't greet is a challenge. So you just avoid. If you are like that, God is talking to you. It won't help. It doesn't lead anywhere. Wake up in the morning resentful, touchy, picky. Say, I don't know. They are looking at me. I don't know what they are looking at me about. They are discussing and they are laughing at me. I'm sure I'm their topic. No. Love is not resentful. Love is not touchy. Love is not easily angered. Number 8. Love does not celebrate calamity, adversity, or evil. Whenever you see a person who celebrates calamity, celebrates adversity, celebrates evil, that is a person walking in hate. He does not celebrate calamity, does not celebrate adversity, does not celebrate evil, does not celebrate adversity, does not celebrate calamity, does not celebrate evil. That is love. Doesn't matter what it is that happened, even to your worst enemy, somewhere inside you, there is a feeling. Number 9. Love is durable. Was that 8 or 9, please? Love is durable. It has endurance. It is not fleeting. It has endurance. Love is durable. Love has endurance. Love is not fleeting. Love is patient. Young ladies and young men, please don't marry for things. Marry for love. Because things can't sustain relationship. When a man sees you and all he is after is how you look, this girl looks fine. This girl looks this or that and goes after you for that purpose. When he sees somebody he thinks looks better than you, his love for you begins to, his affection begins to crash. This man looks handsome or he has money. When she sees somebody that is more attractive, it will crash. But when it is love that is not tied to any condition, it will last. It is durable. It goes in the long run. My love for my wife today has not sunk 1 inch from the day we agreed on the journey, because it was not tied to things. My wife looks better now than she looked when I met her. The reason why? I think she was too spiritual then. I literally abandoned herself. Just literally. I don't know how to go into detail about that. Full-fledged. Standing in front of hostel preaching. Standing inside university bus preaching. No. Who are you to make what hair?
No form of comeliness.
No form of what is plaiting of hair waiting for?
Oversized clothes.
Sold out.
A-line skirts. Shade hairstyle. All back.
Yes.
A-line skirts. Jump up jacket.
That's right. Not one day that I can say, okay, this is the hair was done like this.
Or this dress was very
nothing
fine.
Nothing. Just completely like that. But the spiritual eye and divine direction saw through that.
You can see. Oh.
I'm talking now, I still remember one of the stick skirts, brownish in color. I can't tell what is the shape of that skirt.
My parents bought is what I wore.
That's
I didn't
right.
know how to. I never went to a tailor, no. cut cloth, so like this. Never.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So I don't know if that is. Now, I'm not advocating for people to look anyhow. As a matter of fact, medical school also has a way in which you are so focused on the studies, and then when you now put spirituality on top, it doesn't give you the time to think of look like this or like that. But you look through that. And by looking through that and going by the direction of God and direction of love, it was later on that I realized that she's not ugly at all. Later on, oh, later on. Not initially. Maybe that was why I didn't think that I was the one to marry her. I was always praying for God to give her a good husband. It wasn't in my mind at all. Praise the Lord. So let us just ensure that physical things are not the things that make us to make lifelong decisions. Physical things, the things that appear. I believe that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let me conclude this morning. How do you react? Now we did 9, this service we'll do 9, the second service, that will be like 18. It will just be the flip side of all that we did in the first service. How do I handle or deal with the pain of hate? You've been hated. You've been betrayed. You've been jilted. You've been wounded. How do you deal with the pain? Number one, soak yourself in the presence of love, the presence of God. The presence of God is the presence of love. Soak yourself there. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You soak yourself. You see, the easiest way to clean the stain is to use the bleach. The easiest way to handle the darkness is to release the light. The easiest way to heal the hurt is to connect the love. Soak yourself in the presence of love. The presence of God, which is the presence of love. Just soak there. Number two, focus on the purpose and plan of God for your life, for your future. Just focus on the purpose and the plan of God for your life. The meaning of that is, you are not where God wants you to be yet. So you cannot make the bitterness, the offense, your focus. Just switch focus. And just let your focus be, what does God want me to do with my life now? What is my next level? What is the next position of God for my life? Where am I going in life? Focus. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. But if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. So if your eye is single, you are focused on purpose and focused on what God wants for you, your life will be flooded with light. But if you are focused on evil, the evil they did to you, you flood yourself with depression, with darkness. Number three, identify any advantage that can be found in the situations that you experienced. Any advantage. Identify any advantage that can be found in the situations you experienced and focus on them. Joseph told his brethren, as for you, you meant evil for me. He said, but God sent me before you. Genesis 45, I am reading verse 7. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity. For you, you were hating me. But on the side of God, God was helping me to help you later. I heard many years ago that if you ever learned anything from any challenge of life, that challenge was no longer a problem. It was a university. It was a school. Whatever teaches you can't be a challenge. So just you know, I have had situations, and there are things that we find it very, very hard to talk about. From my second year, after second year medical school, I didn't return back home again to collect school fees until graduation from medical school because of certain situations on ground. I didn't go again. Yeah. That process was a most exciting process for me. Because it causes me to stand on my feet today and look up to nobody but God. It brought me to a point today where I see that inside everything in life, there is something advantageous. I've been brought to situations where people I was meant to hate because of what they did, I love them passionately because of what I benefited from what they did. I can't hate the one who made me spiritual. Your hatred pushed me to God and made me so spiritual until I got so anointed. I will love you for hating me. But this is too much. Do you understand? See, there are people you would now begin to love because consciously or unconsciously, they did some things that were meant to be against you, but the things worked for you. And you are going to be saying, I want to thank you for how. I heard of a man, let me round up because of our time. I heard of a man as a captain of an airline and working. He was sacked by the airline overall MD. Sacked him. And he stepped down and became jobless. And after a little while, him and two of his other friends sat together and said, it's possible we can also start an airline. Long story made short, they started an airline. Flourishing airline. One day, this man I heard was in a meeting where the man who sacked him was also. And they went to go and shake him. I want to appreciate you for that sack, because it has made me who I am today. I would never have thought that starting an airline was a possibility until I was sacked. Thank you for sacking me. This is how to turn the table against the devil. What he was trying to make to use against you to hate people, it has now turned to appreciate the same people. Do you understand what I'm saying? You didn't fast for 7 days total until the same witch was looking for you. And then you fasted brutally. You didn't improve yourself academically until they are mocking you for your illiteracy. Pastor W.F. Kumuyi, in his third year in secondary school, he was laughing and joking with his friend until what teacher said, Williams, other people are laughing, you are laughing too. You are joking too. Because he was always at the back of the class. He said, what, really? So because I am not doing well, I shouldn't laugh. He sat up. This is third term form four, what you call SS1, now SS2. He sat down, ran, shifted forward. By form first term of form five, he was in the front of the class. By the time he graduated in third term of form five, just 1 year, he was the best overall. Because of the insult, he pushed him. Went to University of Ibadan. He graduated in 1968 with 99% in mathematics. Overall best graduating student in the whole university. He said, the teacher didn't change. Subjects didn't change. But he changed. What will he do to that teacher? Thank you for insulting me. If you didn't tell me, why should I be laughing? I wouldn't have changed myself. There are people you will need to appreciate later. You see, it is a waste of experience if you became bitter instead of becoming better. You wasted the experience. You wasted it. Whatever you passed through that is making you angry, it has been wasted. There are things you should have learned from it. There are things he should have done to you, he didn't do. So it has left you bitter. It has left you bitter. It should have left you better. It should have left you better. You agreed to become bitter. So just be on the assignment now of looking out for the positive advantageousness of these situations. And you will realize that you may actually have to thank the person who hurt you because it brought you to your senses. It brought you to your senses. It made you better. It made you more prayerful. It made you more spiritual. It brought out your potentials. It woke you up. It woke you up. The critics of Daniel woke him up. Give them no reason to catch you in anything. Just be on your toes. And they could not find any occasion against Daniel. Because he knew they were watching him to pull him down. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Beloved brothers and sisters, if I stop here today, I know I have overpreached. Identify any advantage that can be found in the situations that you experienced and focus on them. And I can tell you, I can assure you, the time will come when you will look for those who hurt you and you will actually appreciate them for the hurt. All the people that did things against me, especially growing up, I am so grateful to them today. So grateful to them today. I'm grateful to my father. You know, my father was very, very massively wealthy. When we grew up as children, we grew up with brand new Mercedes car, brand new. That is age 3, age 4. Before we were born, he had lorries. But he will never make you feel like big man picking. You will see the money, but you to touch it now. Touch it, let's see. You won't. We had other people, our contemporaries, they were living big. The father had big, they were living big. But he will never. Money is strictly school fees. And if there is pocket money, you and him have to calculate it. This, which one is for this one? Which one is for which one? Yeah, that was how it was. Do you understand what I'm saying? I thank the Lord that I didn't relax as a child. That I have somebody who has something. I thank my God. Otherwise, I've gone the way of you will succeed. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Stand on your feet to the loudest shout of amen. The loudest shout of amen.
The loudest shout of amen. Anybody gained anything today, say amen.
The fourth thing, and I want you to take this in standing. And please, ushers, instead of directing people in now, please let them hold on a bit. So that they don't start going out when it is time, the service closes. They just came in and then start going out. Just ushers at the grace gate. Please hold on to the people there now. The grace gate, goodness gate, and glory gate. Just give me a few minutes. The fourth thing that I'll tell you is to ask for the grace to move on. Move beyond the hurt. Just ask for the grace. Lord, I need grace to move on. To move past this hurt. To move past this disappointment. To move past this pain. I ask for the grace to move on. Bible said in the book of Galatians, Titus chapter 2, verse 12. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. 11 and 12. Teaching us to deny ungodliness, to deny worldly lusts, and to deny all these things. So, grace helps us to reject some things, refuse things, and to move forward in life. I receive the grace to move on. I cannot die with this situation. I can't be buried with this condition. I receive that grace to move on. And that grace shall be released. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder amen. Did you receive something today? Lift up your hands and go ahead and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Father, we worship you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. Father, we magnify you. Let us sit a friend. Father, we appreciate you. Let us set a feta satakada galaya dagala harata sidia. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Father, we worship you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. Father, we magnify you. Father, we glorify you. In the name of Jesus. Anybody blessed today, lift your hands and say, Father.
Father,
I thank you
for your help.
For your mercy,
for your grace
upon my life.
Be glorified,
be honored,
be adored,
be worshipped. In the name of Jesus, I receive the grace to walk the walk of love. I receive the grace to walk the walk of love. I receive the grace to live the life of love. I receive that grace in the name of Jesus. Go on ahead, lift your voice, open your mouth and speak to God. I receive the grace to walk the walk of love. I receive the grace to live the life of love. I receive that grace. Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
The Lord, hear us and answer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Take your seat 1 minute. I'm going to do an altar call for salvation. And I'm also going to pray again, finally, for those who need that healing from the pains of bitterness again. But I want to let you know that love has taken us to many places. Love took us to Jalingo. At the heat of terrorism in the Northeast, took us to Kano. Very, very drastic crusade. In Kano, we're told that they had never had a crusade like that before. If you have the Kano clip, you can also show us briefly. And that the crusade that would have been like that was the Rehoboth Crusade of 1991. We'd never held because of the crisis. Incredible. Love took us to Kaduna. Kaduna people had been so afraid because of the tension. Nobody had come in terms of such drastic, apart from Daddy Gio, who went earlier on. And we had the most explosive program. But Sokoto, after we left Kaduna, Sokoto began to call. Please, I don't need any exit or inflow right now. Just hold on until the second service. Sokoto began to call. When will they be remembered? As I prayed about it, I felt the direction to go to Sokoto. Like you know that Sokoto is the seat. You understand what I mean? So I don't go further like that. And on arrival in Sokoto, and even before we arrived, the first venue that they went for was rejected. They went for a second venue, which was a bigger venue by faith. This second venue, the last time it was given for church or crusade use was 25 years ago. 25. In that climate, we went for this crusade. Now, when the crusade held, the vice president of Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria, covering the Northwest, said he has been in that town for 45 years. He has not seen a crowd or a crusade or even the intensity of the manifestation of God for 45 years. He said, give the Lord a praise. He said he was told by a Muslim who was born in that town, nothing like that has ever happened. A military officer, an Air Force of personnel, told his colleague that whether it is in the secular or for church meeting, he has never seen a thing like that in his life. Now, Sokoto is such that I don't know for one reason or the other. Archbishop Benson is also our blessed memory. Went everywhere. The only place he didn't preach or do a crusade was Sokoto. God's servant Rehoboam, you know Africa is his second home. Went everywhere again. That place was not a place he went. It was under that climate that God took us there. The Northwest, like you know, is headquarters for banditry. Terrible terrorism. We went into an IDP camp. Only God made tears not to drop from my eyes. The kind of place the people are sleeping in one room, about 15 women. The man who is the director of humanitarian services of the Sokoto state, he took us on tour because we took relief material, food there, and we actually need to do more. He said to us, he said, these people are people that were sacked by bandits and terrorists. Come shoot randomly, kill their husbands. And this become hostages and refugees. That was the kind of place we went. The love of God drove us. Not a dime of offering was taken on crusade ground or even in the minister's conference to my notice. The love of God, we went to give. When I saw the women welcoming us at the airport, my heart went out. You know how fatherless children or orphans see like a father arrived. And they were singing it, oh yo yo, oh yo yo. Can you give us the clip that you have within the time we have? The airport reception.
Leadership should ensure that we govern the land, number one, in the fear of the Lord. The welfare of the people should be at the heart of leadership. Once in a while, leadership should find out exactly what is going on in the grassroots, what's happening with the people, what's going on down there, and then try to tailor policies and strategies to handling and tackling this issue. That's the essence of it. The people must be touched. Well, the people of Sokoto State should expect peace, progress, will expect the help of God and the mercy of God.
When I saw Kuso, that we programmed it. Kwana Biyo, the young man, who obeyed the Safe, then who obeyed Kuma, the young man. Kuso, a chicken Zuchia, Kushiri Che, while when did you say, Taba? Kuma, Muzo, the Iko.
That's right.
Muzo, the Alheri. Alheri, when did you say? Kuma, Kuso.
Can up here tonight, not in our name, but in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. And we declare the heavens open in the name of Jesus. We declare this crusade open tonight in the name of Jesus.
Everybody excited in Sokoto tonight? Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to the Lord in the voice of Christ.
When we went to Mina, we decreed certain things. And we saw instant results. Went to Jalingo, we decreed. Here again, we decree against every altar of wasted of life and blood in the name of banditry. We declare that these altars be set on fire. We decree that destroyers will begin to destroy themselves. I declare that this ground shall be filled to the knowledge of the glory of the Lord of the waters covered the sea. So carry all your Bibles and things to faith and be the first person to be in the frontier. All the way from the gate, don't go. I'll give you the count of 20. Run, 1. Be the first person to come through.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Where you brought me from, where I've been, where you brought me to, where I've been, but where you're taking me.
Welfare distribution in the church.
I want to live, Lord, in the world of your glory. I want to live, Lord, in the place where you
medical outreach.
To stay away from the pressures and cares of this life. To stay away, Lord, from the ways of the world.
Welfare distribution at the stadium, at the venue of the event.
Of your glory. I want to live, Lord, in the place where you are.
Should ensure that the
this is a reputation, isn't it?
Number one, in the fear of the Lord, in the fear of God, in the fear of God. Number two,
can we move to the idea of
wealth, respect, peace?
And his God is a mammoth, he's big.
Yes.
You see, that is the secret. Anywhere he enters, he commands effect. So we need to let that this make a statement. Everyone is so
good.
Is power unto witnessing and service to God. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It is power that gives you audacity to stand for God.
Please move to the IDP camp, please. Please move to the IDP camp because of time. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. What a faithful, faithful, faithful God we serve. Very, very quickly, while they get that said, everyone that is here this morning, you are saying, Pastor, maybe because of time we'll do this in standing. Pastor, I want a healing from a hurt, from a pain. I want freedom today. Can you stand up on your feet where you are? I want to be healed of a pain, of a hurt. I've heard the message today, but I need the grace of God to move beyond where I have been hurt. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone here today. I ask, even as we are going to be taking the communion today, that this hurt, this pain, be healed. deliver them, clean them. In Jesus' precious name, amen.